is here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So if you would please open your Bibles before we begin our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for all your blessings that you give us, Father, those physical blessings and spiritual blessings. Father, thank you for them that you give to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to be with us, Father, that as we go through this class, that we may open the book of life, that we may study a portion of your word, Father, that we may take it and use it in our daily life, Father, that we may be able to apply your word in our lives. Thank you once again for all your blessings. Be with those that are not here this morning, those that are traveling, those that are on their way to the building, Father. Be with them. Let them get here safe. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our sins that we commit in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'd like for us to, this is going to be the lesson's going to be about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And he uses the word seek. Because as we read Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is, what's happening when Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6? It's the Sermon on the Mount. So who is he speaking with? I'd just like for us to get a picture, a mental picture of what's going on. The Jewish people, the disciples are there before him, and all these people that have come to hear Jesus Christ. And so he begins, in chapter 5, he begins with what? The Beatitudes, as he begins to preach the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't he? And we see that Jesus tells them and wants them to know that God is looking for them, that God is seeking them. And that's the word that I'd like for us to talk about this morning, because in verse 33, chapter 6, what does that verse say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be what? Added unto you. So imagine Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and then he tells them, well, this is what you have to do. After he's told them everything that they need to look for, everything that they need to leave behind, he says, but this is what you need to do. Seek. What does the word seek signify to us? What does it mean?
To look for.
To look for. Now remember, once again, imagine Jesus preaching this and you're in the crowd. What is Jesus really telling these people?
Depend on him.
Depend on God. So we see that seek is not only to look for, but is to depend on God. What else? Okay. Once we trust in God, because the previous verses talk about that, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. And he gives us an example. He says, don't you see the lilies of the field? He mentions Solomon. He says, not even Solomon dressed up as fine as how God dresses the lilies of the field. So he's telling them to trust in God. But he's telling them to seek. He says, we need to seek God. And I looked up the Greek meaning of this word, and don't think that I always look for the Greek meaning, because to me, it seems like it's all Greek, if you get the... But I wanted to kind of find out, okay, what is Jesus talking about here? What is he saying? The word endeavor comes up. Something that we seek, something that we look for, or to reach towards the goal. So it's not just to look for, but it's what? To find. Something to desire after. So we see now what Jesus is telling them here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Desire it. Look for it. And this is I think, the to me personally, I think this is the best definition, is diligent. Yes, ma'am?
Seek is a little bit more than looking for. The shepherd who lost one sheep left the herd and went after that one sheep. The widow woman lost one coin and she swept the house and even got her neighbors to it. So it's diligently seeking the good.
Exactly. So when she lost that coin, and if it was a valuable coin, you know, I'm sure we've lost something and we're looking for it. And it's more than just looking for it, but it's wanting to find, isn't it? I need to find it. And what usually happens is a couple days later, we're not looking for it, but, oh, here it is. I found it. That's not seeking. But it's seek to find. And I'd like for us to see a couple things here. And that is our side of seeking. From our point of view, seeking God. But what has God done? Do you think he's wanting to be sought after? Does he want to be found? Yes, he does, exactly. So we see two sides here. We're seeking, and God making it possible to what? To find. And so this is what I'd like for us to talk about in this morning's lesson. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we see that, once again, we see if we begin with verse 19, Jesus talks about, he's preaching to them the Sermon on the Mount. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust and moth does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And isn't this so common sense? I think it makes sense what Jesus is saying here. If your heart is in making treasures for yourself on earth, what's the outcome of that? And everybody's trying to take it from you. Thieves and everyone else. But if we make treasures in heaven, who can take that from you?
Nobody.
So Jesus says, he says, make treasures for yourself in heaven. Now, how do we make treasures for us in heaven? God has made that possible through his son, Jesus Christ. He blesses us with all spiritual gifts, doesn't he? He's given us everything we need for salvation, for that eternal life with God. And so Jesus says here, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So think about it personally, each one of us. Where is your heart? If it's on this earth, your treasure, or on the spiritual things. He continues to say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else we hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what's he saying here? He says you can't serve the world or God. We can't serve money and follow it and God. We have to choose who we will serve. And he says, let's go to verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now he's talking about between verse 24 and 29. He talks about the lilies of the field. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. How many of us worry about tomorrow? Is there anything we can do? He says, don't worry about it. And like the comment that Brother Joe made, Jesus is telling us we need to put our trust in whom? In God. Put your trust in God. Do we truly put our trust in God? And he says, Jesus gives us an example about Solomon. Solomon had lots of riches, and he dressed with the best that they had at that time. But Jesus says, yet he could not dress. You know, talking about the lilies of the field, if we look now, during this time, what do we see as we're driving down the country roads? It's time for blue bonnets, isn't it? Who dresses them? Do you dress them? God does. This is what Jesus is getting at. Trust in God. And so, verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So Jesus is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to search for God. And I think it's a daily seeking for us. It's a weekly seeking for God. It's a monthly, every day of our lives to seek for God. And so Jesus is telling us, look to God. Seek God. Another example that I'd like to use as far as the word seeking, if we turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Now, we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of what?
Faith.
So the writer of Hebrews gives us examples of men and women that were faithful to God. And because of their faith to God, they were able to accomplish many things that God had commanded them to do. Why? Because they believed in God. And so we see what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently do what? Seek him. So we see the word here, seek. He's talking about faith, but he says here, it is impossible to please God without faith. You need to believe that there is a God. And we'll read some scripture in just a few minutes where it's impossible not to know that there is a God, because God has made it possible for us to see that there is a God by what he has created in this world. But we see here in verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please him. This verse reminds me of what James has to say. In James, if we turn back, just turn to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. If someone would like to read that for us.
You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
So we see here that faith, believing in God, isn't just believing that there is a God. Because what did James say? He says that even who knows that there is a God? Even the devil also believes and trembles. So the devil knows the power of God. If the devil believes and trembles, he knows the power of God. So it's not just believing, but acting upon that belief. Going back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see here that we mentioned already the word diligent and seek. And I think this is, to me personally, the closest definition of seeking is that we need to seek him diligently with all our being, with all our strength. I know sometimes we've wanted something, you know, in life, and we just do whatever it takes, you know, to accomplish or to get what we've wanted. It takes more than just, you know, your regular strength. It's seeking, it's diligently. So this is what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So when we seek, we need to seek diligently. And I'd like for us to look at some examples here in Matthew chapter 11, because we see that these men and women, when they believed in God, they acted upon it. But even at that, they were not searching for something physical, but they knew that there was something beyond this life. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises, or promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country where they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So we see their faith in God. Yes, sir.
It's not blind faith, brother. You know, it's based on God's word. You don't just go out there blindly or just our personal feeling, nothing like that. It's based on something solid, which is the word of God, and you have to continue on till the end. And it depends on us. Okay? Everything depends on us, whether we're just going to make it or not. And we can't blame nobody but ourselves if we don't.
Okay. And we see here as well that Abraham and all these faithful men and women, you know, they looked, like I said, they looked beyond the physical. They were able to see and have that faith in God of what awaited them beyond this life. Does our faith go beyond this world? Does our faith go beyond physical death? Because it should. Just like these men and women, they looked for a heavenly place with God. And that inspiration should encourage us to be faithful to God. We should have that desire to continue to seek God because of what awaits us. That should be a motivation. And it's through God's word. Brother Joe just mentioned. This is how we get to know God. This is how we get to know what God's will is. And so the question this morning is, are we seeking God? And if we have found him, there's two ways to see this. We've sought God, we found him, we've obeyed the gospel. We're Christians, we believe in God. Or we haven't taken those steps of obeying the gospel. But we see that Jesus tells us there that we need to seek the kingdom of God Let's turn over to another example that I'd like for us to see. Is in, if we go back to Matthew chapter 7, and I think that this is a great example that Jesus gives us here. Now we're starting to look as far as we need to seek God, but now I'd like for us to see the other point of view where God has made it possible for us to find him. Matthew chapter 7. As Jesus continues to preach the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 and verse 7, he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh, he findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be" what? "It shall be opened." So we see here the example and what we've already said, that God is wanting to be found. Because Jesus says, if you knock, you will what? You will find. Perhaps the reason we haven't found him, we don't seek, because we don't want to find God. We don't want to know anything about God. But Jesus says, if you ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. So, isn't that telling us that God wants to be found? This is what Jesus is saying here. And he gives us a great example. He says, beginning with verse 9, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" And so he's talking about us as parents. If your children ask for you for bread, will you give him a stone? And we can answer that either yes or no. What would we do if our children asked us for bread? Give them bread. Would you give him a stone? No. But what's he getting at? He says, now, he says, so if you, Jesus says, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So we see the example that Jesus gives us. He says, if you, as a parent, know how to give your children bread and the things that they need, don't you think that our God is able to give you what? What we need spiritually. If you ask, if you seek, you shall find. If you ask, it will be given to you. And so we see here again the comparison that God is willing to give us what we need. He's willing to open the door for us if we seek, if we knock on that door. So I think that this is a great example of not having an excuse for us, because God is wanting to be found. Let's go to Psalm chapter 139. And the whole chapter, I think, the whole chapter talks about God and how he knows us personally. It says in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, who's there? God. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So we see God's presence is near us. God is near. We just have to seek him. This reminds me of what of the book of Jonah. These verses that we just read. What happens to Jonah? God sends him where? To Nineveh. He says, I need you to go there and preach to these people. Tell them that I will destroy them in 40 days. What does Jonah do? Tries to flee from the presence of God. Where can Jonah go to flee from the presence of God? We see that he's out in the ocean, in a boat or ship. What does he do? They get a storm. He says, it's because of me. Throw him overboard, or he jumps overboard. He gets swallowed by what? A big fish. But we see here that Jonah is trying to flee from the presence of God. Jonah prays after he's been swallowed by the big fish, and he's in the, I could just imagine, you know, if it's a big fish, you know, deep in the ocean, deepest part of the ocean, that this fish is in, with Jonah in its belly. Jonah, what does Jonah do after he can't find a way out? What does Jonah do? He prays to God. So we see here what these verses in Psalms is saying, and how Jonah, even in the deepest part of the ocean, God is there. And so we see that after Jonah prays to God, the fish spits him out onto what? Onto land. Yes, sir. What does scripture say? He says, when you ask God and you don't receive it, what's the reason for it? I'm sorry? because you're not asking for the right things.
That's right.
That's the example that brother's giving us. You know? Yes, sir.
You know, the key to all of this is submission. Because when you can seek God, you can believe the word, and the word says that you are a hearer only and not a doer, you deceive yourself. And so you have to do what God says to do in the word. You have to submit to God. And it's believe and submit.
Okay.
If you're trying to run your life the way you want to, God's not going to bless you for your will to be done. God will bless you if you're seeking His will to be done in your life.
Okay. And Book of James is a good example of what Brother John is saying, you know, as far as faith without works is dead. And like we said, that, you know, we see both sides of that coin, where we need to seek God, but yet God has done everything possible, you know, for us to seek Him and to find Him. This is why I want to read these verses in Psalms 139, because God can be found. And so... Yes, sir.
And God has a plan for each one of us. He's got a will for each one of us. In Psalm 139, verse 16, says, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So even before we exist, you know, God has a plan for us. If we just seek His will and submit to His will, then God's plan will be done in our lives. And there's no better plan for us than God's plan.
Amen. And this is as well why we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the examples of these men and women that obeyed, you know, because they were not looking at, again, at the physical. They're not looking at the earthly, but they're able to see what's beyond that. And this is a good example because it serves us the same way. We need to look beyond what this earth has to offer us. I was gonna, if we could turn to Ephesians, just because of what our brother John mentioned. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, says, or let's begin with verse 3. "Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Okay, so this is God already doing His part as far as giving us all the blessings and all the tools and everything that we need for salvation in heavenly places in Jesus, in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of what? Of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So God had made this choice even before the foundation of this world. Thought about the plan of salvation for mankind and given us that opportunity to obey the gospel. Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Him according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us acceptable in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." So we see that God has done his part. Are we doing our part in seeking God? Any other comments or questions? We're down to 5 minutes before we end our class. Acts chapter 17 also gives us a good example as the Apostle Paul, I believe it's in Athens, and as he's walking through there, he sees these men, you know, that have different statues and they're worshiping different gods. But when he shows up, he says, I've come to preach to you about that unknown God.
One thing, brother, our faith motivates us to ask God, but we have to ask God according to his will, not what I want. And if we have not received what we asked for, maybe that's not God's will. So we have to think right and ask according to the will of our Lord and Savior, and everything will go out ahead. I think it's James where it says, you ask, but you do not receive, because you do not ask according to his will. So that's the difference. Okay.
So once again, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus is telling us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, everything else shall be added unto you. You just look for God. Seek him. Everything else will come along. How many of us believe this? How many of us have confidence in God that he will give us what we need? Because we should. And so this is the lesson for this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your comments. And this ends our class for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.